Blog Talk Radio.
When I think of home, when I think of all of me, all pieces of sand shell boxed up and raised up, a bit soft but too tough, cause life really was rough when I learned the most stuff, the more checks, the more cash, the more bets on your behalf. They just laugh, they just stare, they don't care, now they tear you apart with no heart, you can't stop, you just start, but the art, no it's true, knowing you, no more blue, until soon, I see you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you. Now take a moment and see what's really showing. Are you really the chosen or are you just the stolen? And it ain't really gotta be like that. Elastic lineage, knowledge from far way back, back in the time, far down the line of the ancestral stars, when what was yours was mine and mine was yours in time. Our soul shines sublime, but now is the prime time. When I think of home, I think of the stories you told me. All the times on stoop, life lived in a loop, I break free. Oh, oh, when is the time when we will rise, shine, fly, soar? Oh, Baltimore, I love you, I pray we learn to love more. Wash off our sins at the shore. Release the heart to zone from home to home. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome. Welcome, welcome to the Home to Homeland series. I am so glad to be here. My name is Sanchelle, and I am your hostess with the mostest, coming from you live in my bedroom in Baltimore City. So, Nangadef, what's good? The song that you just heard is titled Home Beneath the Feet. I wrote this song for my stage dance play titled Home to Homeland, and I'm featuring Jay Dilla, or Jay Dilla is featuring me. Rest in power to him, I say. So in March 2019, I premiered Home to Homeland, which is an interactive dance theater translation of my journey from my living room in Baltimore to Senegal. The performance travels through various rooms that represent pit stops in New Orleans and daytime television via the Wendy Williams Show, where I interview myself on the meaning of home. My final stop lies in Senegal, where I realize that home is beneath my feet. The interactive experience opens up a world of non-biased seating within the audience and sparks a deeper conversation of the similarities of home that defy race, that defy status. Tonight is my first episode of Home to Homeland, the series. It's a conversation on the connections I find between the hometown of Baltimore and the motherland, specifically Senegal. Here is where I have an opportunity to voice and archive my experiences that have molded me as I've traveled between the East Coast and the coast of the continent. After almost a decade of being a citizen to the world, I have returned to Baltimore to honor the life of my bloodline on this land. I honor them through my Afro Club dance classes, where I teach them weekly. I have been teaching them weekly in New York City and Philadelphia, and now have brought them back to Baltimore. This class fuses Baltimore club dance or Baltimore house and West African traditional dances. I also honor my bloodline by connecting with local artists here. There's so many beautiful and amazing, talented artists right here in Baltimore, and I am highlighting them during my time of return. I'm bringing all that I have learned on my journey back home. I learned a lot, but I also am reclaiming what I lost. And I'm telling the story of the unheard. Some of the greatest people I have met have been in the bodegas, the corner stores of Baltimore, the bus stops, or just on the corner. This city has a story, and it's connected to Africa. And I'm here to find out what that connection is. So thank you all for tuning in. And just before we really get into the topic of tonight, I just wanted to go over a couple of things to keep in mind. I am not an expert of these cultures, but I am a conduit in which they are melded and expressed. After 5 years of studying dance on the continent and a lifetime of being a Baltimorean, I speak from a perspective of experience, not expertise. I'm stating only my opinion for those whom the message resonates. This is an African-centered space, a safe space for my people, regardless of lifestyle, sexuality, spiritual expression, etc. If it is resonating with you, it's resonating with you. And I'm always accepting Cash App and Venmo donations. You can hit my Cash App at any time, any place. I am a mom raising a child singularly, and I give a lot to my community because they give a lot to me. So I respect the principle of reciprocity. So you can give me an amen or ashe by giving me a little cash or a Venmo. Cash App is $Sanshell Brown. And my Venmo is at Sanshell Brown, S-A-N-C-H-E-L, brown like the color. All right, so let's get into today's topic, okay? I am a person who has relearned and regained a lot of myself, a lot of my African self through my spirituality and through my performance. For a living, I have been for the past forever and ever, amen, I would say. But as a professional, I have been working in the entertainment industry for the last roughly 10 years as a professional. And I've done a lot of stage plays. I've done a lot of live performances. I've apprenticed with companies in New York City. I've also done a lot of choreography, and I've done some commercial work as well. So I've been in this game for a bit, and over time, I decided that I wanted to continue to strengthen my tools and strengthen all of my dance skills. So I decided to travel to Senegal, West Africa, back in 2015 for the first time. And when I went back to Senegal, and I say I went back because I really felt like an ancestral past life connection, which I know that I definitely have that with Africa. It sounds so minuscule and it sounds so like duh, but I realized that there's so many connections between Baltimore and Senegal. And when I went back, I studied with Mama Germaine Akoni at L'École de Sable, which translates into the School of Sand in French. And I decided to go and learn and share what I had. And they asked me to bring my native dance. They asked everybody who performed to bring their native, who came and participated in the workshop to bring their native dance. And these people were from all over the globe. I was the only American there. So I was like, well, what's my native dance? We don't, you know, Americans, we don't really have like native dance or anything like that. And I was like, oh, Baltimore Club. That's like our native dance, right? So Baltimore Club is a form of house. It's a form of hip hop. And it's something that I have been practicing, you know, as a child, you go to parties, you dance in a cypher, things like that, but it wasn't something that I held on to as an adult. So I tried to reclaim that and partner up with a lot of Baltimore artists and see if they could try to help me learn some, you know, some Baltimore club movement. And after going to the continent and sharing this movement with the people of a continent, I realized, you know what, this is African dance. This is just another version of African dance. When I saw it on African bodies, I was like, this is African dance. So I really started to dig, and okay, West African dance, let me be specific. So I really started to dig in deeper on, well, what are the differences and what are the similarities? And when I came back to the States, I spent the next 5 years creating a club called Afro Club creating a class called Afro Club that combined these dance forms. So with that being said, it made me start to branch into more understanding, okay, what else is similar about us? What else is similar about our cultures? So today's topic is a person who cannot practice their culture with no limitation cannot have their freedom. You cannot be limited in the way that you are practicing your culture and also simultaneously have your freedom. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean is that if you don't have culture, then you're nobody. Not necessarily. I think that culture is a good stepping point for a person who is coming into this world, who is incarnating into this world. And I also know that culture is something that is given to us, but it can be a good tool for us to figure out who we are, identify our strengths, identify our views, identify our likes and dislikes, right? So I decided to look up the definition of culture, and I got three definitions. Two were nouns and one was verbs. The two nouns, I'm going to give you the definition. The first was the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively, okay? The arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. The second definition says the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group. So just looking at these two definitions, I'm seeing that there is definitely an involvement of arts. There's even a speaking of manifestation, so it's something that coming from the inside and being reflected out. And there's also a collective of people or nations or social groups that agree, that say ashe, that say amen to this culture and this custom, right? Then another funny thing was I was just going to walk away with those definitions, and I was like, this is great. But then I saw at the bottom that culture also has a verb definition. And the verb definition is connected, I would say, more to biology. And the verb definition is to maintain tissues or cells, bacteria, et cetera, in conditions suitable for growth. Now, although we're talking about bacteria and we're talking about cells and we're talking about things that are not directly connected to maybe a block party or a African drum circle, right? There is something that about it that still resonates with what we are doing as human beings, as a full-fledged human being, and that is we have to create a condition where we can grow. These cultures create a condition from where we can grow. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only way that we can grow, but I've really been thinking about this because we may have heard terms such as African culture, African-American culture, pop culture, et cetera, subculture, you know? But the root word, cult, references a collective force of people who agree to one thing, period. Culture can be a building tool to self-mastery and identification, in my opinion. We live in an individualistic society, but I think it's a difference between having uniqueness and being an individualistic person, because an individualistic person is cutting oneself off from the collective. It is saying, my way is the highway, my rice is the best, my ice is colder, my water is wetter, right? Instead of saying, you know what, I might like purple water, but, you know, we can put our waters together, or we both agree that we like condensation, the condensation version of water. I don't know. You know, we're coming up with something that we both agree, or we all agree with, and we're moving forward as a force, because one of us can do mighty things, but as a full force, we can knock things out together. So I was going to open up for questions to ask people, well, what do you think American culture is? So take a moment to think about your definition of American culture. For me, American culture is a myth. I mean, I think as Americans, we have a multitude of cultures that are hijacked and oppressed. We see examples of this through segregation. America is one of the most diverse countries on the planet, as we know. But I can't really tell you what the American culture is, right? I mean, you got hot dogs and baseball and, I mean, certain things that, yeah, definitely ring a bell for America or Western society. But is it really American? Because even those things are connected to ancient practices. These are all things that are borrowed. We're on borrowed land. We're on borrowed time. We're on borrowed, the people, the powers that be are on borrowed land, on borrowed time, because this is our land. So I begin to think deeply about this question. Like, I don't believe that America has a culture. I just don't. I think that we are given our culture, and a lot of what we are given is already taken from someone else. So with that being said, what is the point? What am I trying to get to, right? You will notice in every city, there are subcultures or communities who rebuild a slice of their homeland here and there. For example, you have Chinatown, you have Little Italy. I mean, the Jewish people run everything. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But we are not united. We are not one. It's all in segments. It's all in sections. It's all segregated. Once again, individualistic societies. But one thing I have recognized as a Nubian woman, as an African woman born in America, is that I don't see myself represented. I don't see that there's a positive connection between the continent and where I'm at now. I don't really even see that connection. I always hear about slavery, right? We always hear about that. We know the story. I don't need to go through it, right? But where is our Africa town in America? Where is our, or even an African-American town, if people say, I'm not African, which is a whole other thing. We'll get into that. Or I don't even see a black town, you know? Like, you don't see that. We always have neighborhoods that are the black part of town. But we ourselves, we don't own anything. Why is that? The reasons I think that is because of, A, slavery. I don't need to go deep into that. B, illusions. We don't think that we are African. We don't think that some people believe that they are aboriginal to this land, and that may very well be true. But some people don't even believe that. Some people are just out here flinging around like, I'm just this black person in America, and that's all that I am, and that's all that I know. But they don't even realize that they still got cousins on the continent. These bloodlines don't disappear unless they are all killed off, right? So that's why we see is a mass genocide. There has been a mass genocide against melanated people. There has been a continuation of trying to annihilate the original tribes that walked this earth. The people who walked this earth, the things that people read in their Bibles and they read in their ancient texts, the people that they learn about in these ancient texts, where do you think they went? They just didn't disappear, right? They are bloodlines, and we are the descendants. We are the ascendants of these people. We are connected to them. When we were pulled apart, we still had relatives on the motherland, whether they sold us off, whether they themselves were captured and enslaved and put into colonization. Our family didn't just disappear. So you very well, if you are a melanated person listening to this right now, you very well may have a cousin in Africa. I mean, for some people that may be like a duh, but for me, when I went to Senegal and I saw this firsthand, I was just like, wow, we didn't go nowhere. We just got separated. So when I saw the African drum circles, I also saw the Baltimore ciphers that we have. When I saw the queens who were walking around with the baskets on their heads and the babies on their backs, I saw the baby mamas. I saw the baby mamas who was taking care of everybody and everybody on the block. When I saw the people gathered at their houses and they were outside and they were playing wore, or some may call it makala, I saw the people who were gathered on that stoop playing cards or dominoes, right? We have differences, and we know what those differences are, but I think we should start paying attention to more of what is the same. And why do I think that? Because that is where our culture lies. And why is that important? Because that is where, to me, in my opinion, our freedom lies. Our freedom lies in being able to reclaim our African culture. Our freedom lies, if you say that you are Aboriginal of this land, is you being able to go back and collect that information, collect that ancestral information, get and activate your DNA so that you may be able to have the freedom that you would like to have. If I walk outside and I got on a lapa in the top, first of all, right now it's November. It's very cold, you know. So even with the weather, there's a lot that, for me, my body don't agree with the cold. I just don't like the cold because I am a melanated person and I eat the sun. I move in the sun. I am a part of the sun. So first and foremost, a lot of us are misplaced and we're in these really cold environments. But, you know, we're adaptable people, so we adapt, right? I can't go outside and wear my lapa in the top. People going to look at me crazy. That's not the culture here, right? That's not the culture. That's not what we do, right? If I walk around with a basket on my head in America, somebody going to be like, ma'am, they might look at me crazy. They might wonder what's going on. They might think, oh, you was born in Africa, right? Well, you African, you know, the things that we say to our people is out of place. We can't really completely be ourselves. We can't really completely practice our cultures, and as a return, we are losing our freedom. We have been enslaved for so many years, and a lot of us thought that it ended in 1865, but it is still live and direct in your face. When I got to travel to Senegal, I went to the Museum of African Culture. It's a huge museum. It to me has a lot of similarities to the large museum the large African American museum in Washington, D.C. And when I went in there, I was just like, I was in heaven. And one thing that really struck me was how much I did learn a lot, but I also already knew a lot of things, and I knew a lot of things because of my spiritual connection that I started to build, starting to reconnect with the traditional Africanist ways that our ancestors spoke, where we connected with nature, where we connected with the etheros, we connected with the divine, we connected with our gods, we connected with our goddesses, right? We connected that. And when we started to try to do what others were doing in Babylon, what others were doing, and all other cultures that were starting to infiltrate Africa, we fell. We started to act outside of ourselves. We started to practice things that were not our culture. And we are still practicing things that are not our culture. We as a people don't know our culture. We as a people, we don't know who we are. And as a result, we don't have our freedom. And it's crazy if somebody tells you, well, go back to Africa, right? For starters, if you're born in the States, you're like, well, baby, I can't go back to Africa because they're going to be looking at me crazy. Like, you are American when you go onto the continent. Some people may think that. That's not always necessarily what happens. But you kind of get put into this place where you're like, well, I don't know where I'm from. I don't know if I can claim Africa. I don't know if I can claim America. So who am I and what am I, right? Let me just adapt. Let me just pick up this culture. Let me wear the blue jeans. Let me go to all the baseball games. Let me support their politics and keep voting in the system that does not support us, that we know does not support us, but we keep giving our energy to them for them to rule over us, giving them our time, giving them our reflection, giving them, you know, so much power. But we don't even know who we are. And we have, most of all, started to pick up the spiritual implications from our oppressors. So if you tell somebody that you are speaking to a tree, or you are pouring a libation, or you are lighting a candle for your ancestors, or you might just be having communication in your mind frame with your people, with your gods, with your, they're looking at you crazy. Oh, you're a heathen, or you're this, or you're that. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody has their own spiritual walk, and everybody is supposed to walk the way that they are supposed to walk, right? But the ways in which we have accepted the limitations and the ways in which that we have to do things, and we have to do it this way, we have to do it only on Sunday, and we only, you know, and then you don't talk to your ancestors, because that's blasphemy, but you worship the ancestor, Jesus, Yahshua, right? It's so much contradictory. So after speaking on this, what is the remedy? In my opinion, the remedy is to return back to yourself. Give yourself back to nature. Give yourself back to nature. Go outside, sit in those bushes, put your feet in the grass if you can. Try to do it as much in your birthday suit if you can. Start to study your history so that you can highlight what's been dormant in your DNA. It's not that you have to know everything, which you already know everything. It's just remembering it. Release yourself from the worldly affairs. Stop giving so much power to them. Stop looking for a savior. You are your savior. You are your savior. Even if you believe that Jesus is going to come back to save you, don't you still have to be in a sense of alignment, a mayat, a balance, in order for him to say, yes, I claim you as one of mine, right? There's still a sense of personal self-responsibility that we have to have as a culture, as a people. And we cannot continue to blame others and put it on others when we have all the information right here. We got internet. We got all kinds of things in which we can tap in. But you have yourself, most of all. You have yourself. Stop looking for the savior. See the African or the aboriginal practices that you and your ancestors once had and bring them back. And you can remix it. It's not that you have to. I'm not a person who believes that you have to stay strictly in tradition. But if you don't even know the tradition, you can't even remix it. You can't even really ground yourself in it. There's something different when you know you're walking with a force. something different happens when you know you're walking with a force. It's crazy out here, y'all. We see it so much. We see a lot happening. But we are the majority of this land. And I, when I say this land, I mean the entire land. So when, first of all, the minority term is already, I'm not a minority. Never was, never will be. We are the majority. We are the majority. Just like the black crayon can mix with everything and overpower it, right? Everybody mixing up with us, try to make all kinds of different variations of children. You're gonna see that blackness in that child, right? You're gonna see that black. They might try to pass a certain way, but you're going, well, maybe not blackness, but Africanness. You're going to see that in it, in that child, because we are the majority. We are the originals. We are the ones who own this land. So our practice return, they have been returning through us already. It's now just time for us to be conscious of it through our art, through our food, through our slang that we get made of and we get made fun of and we get told in grammar class. That is not the correct way to say this. But we have our own way of doing it. We remix stuff. That's what we do. We add the seasoning to to the life. So I'm here to encourage you to go from your home to your homeland, and you can do that within. Withdraw from whitewashed, watered-down culture. Withdraw from culture, even if it's not specifically about race for you. Withdraw from anything that does not resonate with who you are as an original person. Set out. Go within. Go within. Be yourself at all times. Don't make accommodations for other people so that they can feel better about your trauma and how you're moving and how you're living and your presence. Move with a force. Move with authority. Move like you know this is your land. Practice being yourself as much as possible, no matter the circumstance, no matter who you're around. There's a way to be professional, right? There's a way to, all, you know, when you're in certain environments, to be able to present yourself, to be able to articulate, to be able to talk, to be able to do all of the things, right? But you do not have to talk like this. Oh, my God. So, yeah, like totally yesterday, you didn't got to talk like that. I've seen so many melanated people who open their mouths and they're mimicking something. I'm not talking about, oh, you talk proper for black. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who we are mimicking them. That is not our original tongue. That is not our original speech pattern. We speak with a pattern. When you look at these indigenous languages, they have patterns to them. Let's take a collective breath in and out. Return back to yourself. Remember that home is beneath you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check me back out next week, Wednesday, same time, same place. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything that you would like to share with me, please email me at sanshellbrown@gmail.com. If you would like to donate, please donate at my Cash App, $ SanshellBrown, Venmo at SanshellBrown. Thank you guys. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Failing to dust the beginning from end.